me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. Truth, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad he don't give up on us like we do one another sometimes? That we're serving a merciful Lord Jesus, and I love him for his mercy and grace. Don't you? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? I know you did. The word of the Lord was absolutely outstanding. We're so glad you're here tonight to once again join the battle. We're in a battle. We're not on a picnic. We're in a battle. How many of you know you're in a battle tonight? And I'm going to tell you, it's a battle that we will win. By the grace of God, we read the back of the book, and you know what he said? We win. We just win. Aren't you glad you're a winner tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. Play that again, fellas.
Oh, a vessel. to stay. But when I stumble,
the Lord. You can be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Brother Larry Hara, who is having a lot of problems, health problems, medical problems at this present time. I get Brother Gary's brother, so we certainly want to pray for that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful. I want to continue to pray for Sister Maria Sponsia. She is still experiencing severe back pain, and they have not determined the cause. She's going to have an MRI done, I think, sometime in May, and some monitoring things going on. And she's streaming the services tonight. Give anything the world to be here. She's just asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight as we pray. So let's remember that tonight. I want to continue to remember Sister Becky Lynch. You know, we announced here over the weekend that one of her uncles had passed away. Well, the other one passed away on Sunday. One passed away on Sunday and one this morning. So we want to remember that family in prayer. There's two uncles in the last just few days that they have lost. So let's remember that family tonight as we pray that God would be mindful of them. I want to continue to pray for Sister Patty Little's son and family as they're having many problems. Pray that God will help them to get back together as a family. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I have a prayer request for my son, Joseph Ballard. This was sent to the library, and we just want to commit this need unto the Lord. Has a history of drug abuse and addiction, currently incarcerated. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Rebecca Million, I believe is the way you pronounce that name, as her son. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Want to have the church pray over a very special request. Sister Tanya sends that in. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. Brother Samuel Shuffler is sick tonight, unable to be in the house of the Lord. He's asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Charles Garvin, who is currently undergoing a kidney stone attack and is in severe pain. So we want to pray for Brother Charles Garvin tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Janet Payne says, I'm asking for prayer for the family of Mrs. Jetty McKinn, a little lady that I have helped. For over a year, she passed away today at noon. Please remember that family in prayer. So let's do remember those needs tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Krager wants us to remember Brother Fred Perry in prayer tonight. Not feeling well, just really tired. Have been having to work extremely hard in the last few weeks and just wore out. And just asking that we would pray that God would give him strength in his body. And then here a note for an unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. I do believe that Brother Daniel Nunley maybe got to go home today or maybe tonight. I think he's discharged to where he could go home. But we certainly want to continue to pray that the Lord would be mindful of Brother Daniel. All of our sick that are in our assembly that's not able to be in the house of the Lord, let's certainly remember them tonight as well. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Rob, would you come tonight as we stand? Let's just take these things to the Lord. How many of you know he's a great big God that cares about all your problems? Amen. Brother Rob, God bless you, my brother. We appreciate you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you boldly, Lord, as you've taught us to come. We come before you boldly before the throne of grace, Lord. We bring these requests to you. As Brother Louis was reading them, there is a lot of requests here. There is a number of pieces of paper here where people took time to write the desires of their heart and bring before the body of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you be mindful of our needs, Lord. I know that you are. Drop it in our hearts that you recognize our love for you and how much you love us. I pray, Lord God, for the day that there are prayer requests no more, that we can be with you in fellowship and life and eternal love, Lord. And a part of us is there. And Lord, we look forward to the rapture, the exodus from this world. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, we bring them before you. There are various needs here, some unspoken, some that are healing requests, Lord, some that are just so dire, Lord God, and the things that are not spoken are some things that are even more serious. I pray, Lord God, as we bring them before you, I thank you, Lord, for the place that we can bring them under your name. I thank you, Lord, for the assembly. I thank you for the church that we can come to, that we can hear. The expectations are wonderful, Lord, when we come to church. Lord, I've missed a service or two, and now, Lord, that it's just, it makes you thirst for it. It makes you anxious to hear what you'll have for us this day, Lord, as hungry mouths come to the table. Thank you for the quests that are made. Thank you for your peace that passes understanding, Lord. Thank you for the revelation, and thank you for the understanding that when we place something upon you, we truly do not have to pick it up. We can trust you, and we can love you, for we know that you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come at this time, we'll receive the morning or the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. It is Wednesday evening, isn't it? Amen. You glad you're a Christian tonight? You glad you love the Lord? You glad he loves you more? Are you glad he loves you more? You know, I tell my little grandson all the time, I love you. I love you more, he says. Well, I don't know how that could be, but he loves me more. I'm glad he loves me more. I'm glad he's never thrown me away. I'm glad he's kept working on me, taking me to the potter's shop, working on me. I'm glad of that. Heard a little story a while ago, and I think it's not to be funny, but I heard it on a religious radio station. You can take that for what it's worth. But there was a guy on a deserted island. He was been stranded there, and had built a little hut just to try to brave the elements and survive. And he kept saying, Lord, please save me. Please save me. And just a little while, his hut caught on fire and burned down. And he just got mad and he just shook his fist at the Lord. Well, the next day, there was a great vessel that came to his rescue. Captain took a rowboat, sent some guys over to get him. When he got on the ship, he said, how in the world did you see me? He said, we saw your smoke. So maybe when we think things are so very bad, it's God working on our ability, working on to getting us to where he can use us. Do you believe that tonight? I'm glad he saw my smoke many of a time, and he rescued me. How about you tonight? Let's give him a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. It's a church triumph. Let's sing the church triumphant tonight. Aren't you glad you're part of it? Not all of it, but you're part of it. Somebody say, I am part of it. Somebody say, ain't nobody going nowhere without me. And I mean that in your heart when you say it. You got to believe that with all your heart. You're part of this. You're part of God's program. Somebody say glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. I'm talking about a church. In the book of Revelation, it's built on a rock. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood, been through the fire. But one of these days, the church is gonna move up higher. It's the church. Oh, triumphant, oh Lord. It's built by the hand. the Lord. Amen. As Brother Brandon gets ready to sing a song for us tonight, you can be seated. Let's sing a little chorus together tonight. He's still working on me. Let's sing that tonight if you will. He's still working on me. Are you still a work in progress? We certainly are. He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. One more time. Appreciate Brother Brandon Green and the Green family, don't we? Amen. Brother Brandon, God bless you, buddy.
I changed these strings, now they won't get in tune for me. I'm going to try this in the key of D, brothers.
I am the Lord, I'm the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am the righteous one, and I am the lamb. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am Jehovah and I am the King. I am Messiah, David's offspring. I am your high priest and I am your Christ. I am your resurrection. I am the life. I am. I am the bread and I am the wine. I am your future, so leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle, I am your jubilee. I am peace, I am joy, I am rest, and I am your comfort and relief from your stress. I'm strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power. And today I am your freedom. This very hour I am. I am. I am. I am the Lord, I'm the Almighty God. I am the one for whom nothing is too hard. I am the shepherd and I am the door. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. I am. I am. I am the righteous one and I am the Lamb. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. Praise the Lord. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am. Oh, I am. I am Jehovah and I am the King. I am Messiah, David's offspring. I am your high priest, and I am your Christ. I am the resurrection, I am your life. I am. I am. I am the bread, and I am the wine. I am your future, so leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle. I am your jubilee. Oh, I am.
Let's go up to E, brothers.
I am the bread, and I am the wine. I am your future, so leave your past behind. I am the one in the midst of two or three. I am your tabernacle. I am your jubilee. Oh, I am. I am hope, I am peace, I am joy, I am rest. Oh, and I am your comfort and relief from your stress. I am strength, I am faith, I am love, I am power. And today I am your freedom. This very hour I am. Oh, I am. I am. I am.
Greetings. How are y'all? Fighting the devil? That's not the question. The question is, are you winning? All right, that's what I want to hear. We're winning, amen. Acts chapter 20. Let's speak about the church tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. How many's glad you're part of the church of the living God? Acts 20, 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight, Lord. We love you so much. We thank you, Father, for calling us to yourself, allowing us to be a part of the church of the living God, the church that you established yourself, Father. We are so grateful. May the Spirit of God, I pray, take the word tonight, anoint us with your presence that we'll not be able to receive from it, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. How many believes Jesus started this church?
Amen.
So he didn't gather together a committee, a church starting committee, and say, now look, I've been thinking about that I'd like to start this new entity. And I was thinking that I would call it the church, and I was thinking I would do this one that way, but really I want y'all's input to see what you all think about it. You know, what do y'all think really that a church should be? Should it be mainly a social type of thing? Or should it be more serious and really, you know, really get into it with all of your heart? Is it something that you should go to regularly or just on occasion? Or I want y'all's input. I mean, maybe I'm wrong somewhere. I'm missing this, but I don't see Ray done that at all.
Amen.
Apparently, he started the church the way he wanted it. And I believe he wants it run the way he wanted it run. Right, you believe that with me? Now, you know, I was thinking about it today that if the Lord Jesus would have so chose for the leadership of the church, he could have chose singers. And he just said, well, I'll tell you what I want to do. I think that probably for the head of the church, what we should have is a singer. Well, what do you figure that church would do mainly? And what you figured they'd do is sing or yodel? Well, now, what if you said, I want the head of the church to be a governor? Then what would the governor probably do? Govern. So if he chose preachers, what do you reckon they're going to do? Really? So a singer, you figure, will sing, and a governor will govern, but a preacher is supposed to play tapes. Wow, I mean, I must be really messed up here. Somebody is. Now, watch, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, the Lord Jesus speaking unto the disciples, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that... Now, y'all help me when I get quiet. That ye upon the housetops. Now, remember, this is the founder of this entity called the church. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. He ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and so this is the founder of the church. But maybe he meant until the last age. Really? Now, what would make you think he didn't mean that? Well, simply because he didn't say it. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. They'll preach up so far until the end time, and then I'll have a better way. There is no better way. He chose the best way when he chose the way he did in the beginning. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. And he sent them to the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the apostolic age started out with live preaching. And it will end the same way. God could have started it out with people just standing up reading quotes and, hey friend, I thank God for the prophet's tapes. I'm so grateful. We are one of the most blessed ages it's ever been to be able to live after our messenger passed away and be able to hear that voice. We're blessed. The people that lived after Luther died, they never got to hear that. The people that lived after the Lord Jesus was on the earth, they never actually got to hear his literal voice, nor Wesley, nor the rest of them. We are very blessed to be able to hear our prophet's voice and hear him say it. But when I hear him say it, it makes me want to repeat what he said. It makes me want to do what he said, that is, say what the tapes say instead of play what the tapes play. Now, am I weird or am I strange or am I carrying out what he said actually do?
Now, we know that the church then is such a threat to Satan. Satan's not afraid of NASA. Satan is not afraid of Trump. Oh, my goodness. Hey, he's so confused himself. He don't know where he's coming or going. Satan ain't afraid of the Democrats. He's not afraid of the Republicans. Satan ain't afraid of Putin. Satan ain't afraid of me. He ain't afraid of you as far as an individual. But I'll tell you one thing. There is an entity on the church that the devil is scared to death of, and that is the church of the living God. They are on this earth as the very representation of the Lord God Himself in bride form. They're the only ones that have the power of the Word of God that they can speak and demons will leave. Amen. Come on now, let's preach tonight. They have the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus because she is Him expressed. That's right. And God chose this order in the very beginning. As we said last week, of course, God had prophets in the Old Testament, and God had sages and seers, but He did not have true pastors as it was. He did not have apostles. But beginning with this new entity called the church in the New Testament, He changes His program somewhat. Now, God has always followed the same sense in that He chooses one way by which He will direct His program, and He never changes that. He chose blood in the very beginning when man failed to bring back reconciliation. He's done exactly the same thing to where we are right now. Is that right? God chose man in order to use him to be his spokesman. Now, God could have chose the Son. If God would have wanted, God could have had the Son, and somehow God would have projected the Word to the Son, and the Son would have reverberated down to the earth, or the Son would have spoken in an audible voice, however it would have been. The Son would have been much more faithful than me, and every preacher in this building, every preacher that's ever lived. God could have chose the stars, He could have chose the moon, He could have chose the wind to preach the gospel. You believe it? Whatever He would have chose, it would have been much more faithful than humans have been. But instead of choosing any of that, God chose man. Amen. God never chose, in His great wisdom, He never chose machinery. Now listen to this. God, the angel of God, God always used man for His work. Is that right? He don't use organizations and so forth and mechanical devices. But He uses men. So for those who only listen to tapes, they are totally dependent on a mechanical device or they cannot have church. Now, if this microphone blows up, we've got another. If it blows up, we've got another. And if it blows up, we'll go through the line till they all blow up, and then I'll preach without it if need be. We can have church if the organ blows to smithereens, if every speaker in here shoots fire out like a breathing dragon, the drums fall in the baptistry and drown in the bottomless pit, the piano disappears, every mechanical device we've got, we can still have church because God's provided way is still here. What? Man. But if you have a mechanical device, whether you're playing an MP3 or off of an SD card or a tape recorder, reel-to-reel, or whatever more, you are totally dependent upon that mechanical device or you cannot have church. Well, hallelujah. I already feel sorry for the devil tonight because he's going to get a beating. Now, notice this, and mechanical devices, but He uses men. The Holy Spirit fell upon men. That's God's instrument here on earth. Now, notice this again, He says, in all ages, God has had men that He could put His hand on to do His work. Now, God chooses men, not machines. It's amazing when you find when Brother Branham would ordain preachers that He never ordained tape players. He never ordained MP3 players and iPads and all that through. You know, some little iPad come walking through the ordination line or some RCA player or some reel-to-reel. Now, come on. And yet none of them did it. Why? Because it would have been contrary to God's word. God ordained men. God ordained men. Then it is a false antichrist spirit that will try to get among us in the last days and tell us that these men should sit down and push play. Well, praise the Lord. God chooses men, not machines. He chooses men to work through. He chose the prophets of the Old Testament. He chose His Son of the New Testament and the apostles and on down through the age. He's always had people who would believe in Him. God has never been without a witness. And we can say amen to that tonight, can't we? Sometimes it's gotten down to just a few, but always there is a remnant. Now, this is the way God started His church. He had men before He had a New Testament. Remember, they preached for about 30 years before they ever had a written New Testament. There was no printing press for many, many hundreds and hundreds of years. And yet, there was no mechanical device. There was no PA system. There was no speaker. There was no mechanical device that they depended upon. All they needed was the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And they shook kingdoms. They shook down jailhouses. They turned the world upside down. Come on, saints. Without one mechanical device, and then you're going to tell me it's going to be turned around in the last days, and we are going to be so dependent to hear the voice of God that if the power goes off, we can't have church? Well, praise the Lord. Notice again, God don't take an idol, He takes a man. And if a man will prostrate himself in the presence of God, God puts Himself in the man, and the man becomes the living creature that God's a living in. Amen. Not a dead idol, but a man. Oh, glory. Don't you understand, friend, what many folks are doing? They're making idols out of the tapes. They're making idols out of Brother Branham. They're making an idol out of Brother Branham, our beloved prophet, and they're making him literally the voice of God. Don't you understand? Look at the name. Why did they rename that place years and years ago? Look at it. The voice of God. That's literally what they believe. They believe He is the literal voice of God. Well, we're hurting if He is. If that's the only voice there is, and God can't talk. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. The Holy Ghost is still speaking. I said the Holy Ghost, and He ain't just speaking through the preacher. I hope you've got enough Holy Ghost He can speak to you. That's right. But what is it? It's got to be this way. It must be that last move. I told you years and years and years ago, before it was ever acceptable among the mainstream of the message, that one of the last kingdoms that would be destroyed around this message would be the Branham Kingdom. Because Brother Branham did not come to build a Branham organization. We are not here to build a Branham organization. We are here to complete the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not a Paul body. It was not a Luther body. It was not a Wesley body. It is the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And we are baptized into that body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And hell, nor high water, nor Jeffersonville, nor Dallas, nor Happy Valley, nor anybody else will stop the church of the living God from being what God ordained her to be. There is not enough devils in hell to stop her from becoming the Word made manifest. Glory. So when people make an idol out of Brother Branham, what are they doing? They're just reshaping the Catholicism. He tells us that in 1963, God sends a prophet on the earth, and after He's taken him from the earth, then after about another generation, then people go to making an idol out of His life. They build a tomb and make an idol out of, come on, Happy Valley. This ain't the first time you've heard this. Oh my. Notice it goes on in this quote and says, God never used idols. He's always used man. God don't use machinery. mechanical devices. Praise the Lord. So what does God use? Frail human beings. Faulty. With mistakes. That's what makes it such a great supernatural thing. That God can be able to take human beings and anoint them with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak things that come straight from the throne of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice again, he said, God always works through agents, men. Man is God's agent always, not creeds, not denominations, but man. See, God never worked through machinery, or never worked through denominations. They die as soon as they organize. That settles it forever. So what does God do? God always has living men. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Random is welcome to preach in our pulpit. The next time you see him, tell him I said so. Oh, I know we're being blasted from headquarters because we don't let Brother Branham come in. I've never stopped Brother Branham from walking in here and preaching. He's welcome. Praise the Lord. Uh-oh, y'all ain't sure where I'm going tonight, are you? Now watch this. God never worked through machinery or never worked through denominations. They died since organized. Isn't it amazing how he ties machinery to organization? Now come on, let's say what he said. You see, this is what's got me in trouble for all the years I've been in the message. Saying what he said. The guys who witnessed to me and some of the men who brought me, Brother Donnie, say what he said, say what he said, say what he said, say what he said. I heard that till it ran out my ears. I dreamed it, I talked it, I coughed it. Say what he said, say what he said. That's what I've tried to do since I come in. And I've nearly got skin alive. I've nearly got killed and hung up to dry. For what? Saying what he said. Well, glory to God. Notice, can I go on? God only uses man to work with. He doesn't use organizations. He does. Why is he tying organizations and machinery together? He doesn't use machinery. He could have done it, but he chose a man. That's right. He could have chose the stars, the wind, or anything to preach the gospel, but he chose man. He does not change himself. He's always the same. Oh, you ought to be happy about it right now. So what if God decided he wanted people to make the bride in the beginning, and then in the end time, God changes his mind and decides he wants to start using Coke machines? Or Pepsi machines, or fake trees. And then God said, I'll tell you what, I'm changing my program. Because people cause me so much problems, I'm gonna take some of these Chinese trees made in China. They're made out of UV plastic and resistant, and they don't talk, they don't sass, they don't kick, they don't stomp, they don't do nothing. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna pick up all these trees from China, and I'm gonna chain them into bride. Makes about as much sense. God needs people to make his bride. God needs preachers with living voices. Woo! Glory! Well, are you glad to be in church tonight? Notice again, he says, God in the beginning that could have made the sun to preach the gospel, or the winds to preach the gospel, or an angel to preach the gospel, but he ordained men for that purpose, and he never. Isn't that something? Now wonder why we don't hear this said from places where they push tapes. Praise God. He never ordained denominations. He never ordained groups of men. He ordained men to preach the gospel. Not machinery, mechanical devices. Well, hallelujah. Here it is, friend. This is the message. Come on now. Can we say what the tape said or not? No, some folks can't. Now, you can, most of you can, because you believe that. But there are people around this world, I know you don't say, what in the world is going on now? What's he in the middle of? I never have got out of the middle, I don't reckon. Hey, I'm in the middle of the road, and that's where I'm going to stay. What in the world is going on? Well, you just take my word for it as your shepherd. Just get in behind the walls and stay right there. March toward the rapture. Because Satan is going to attack us with everything that he can. He'll attack, he'll use your family. He'll use church members. He'll use message people. He'll use sinners out here. He'll use everything in the world that he can to attack you. But you keep right on fighting and say, Satan, you might as well get behind me because I'm going on to Jesus. You didn't know. You're not the one who called me. You're not the one who drove me to God. I didn't draw myself. My mama didn't draw me, but God drawed me. God called me. God wrote my name on the book, and you're not going to stop me, devil, so back off. Perfect faith. God uses man and man only. So when people play a tape, please tell me, where's the man? What do they have? An empty pulpit. So you're hearing the voice. Is the voice true? Absolutely. But where's this part of the quote? Missing. Come on, saints. Is it the voice? Yes. Is it the right voice? Yes. Is it saying the truth? Absolutely. What's being said over them speakers is right. But where's the man? Thank you, Jesus. God uses man and man only. God doesn't use machinery. God doesn't use groups of men. God doesn't use organizations. God uses individuals always. So then when people will say, praise God, we're a tight church, I want you to send me one quote where Brother Branham puts those two words together like that and says it. And I'll eat your hat, your socks, your shoes, and your cat if you want me to. So when you say that, you are adding to what the prophet of God said. Now either put up or shut up. Do you understand it's just as much sin to add as it is to take away? As a matter of fact, for those in the end time in the book of Revelation, the plagues of the book of Revelation will be added to those who add to the word of God. So you know what? They're not saying what the prophet said, so I call them one thing, liars. Well, praise the Lord. You know, the apostolic fathers, you said, poor Brother Donnie, why do you get so what? This is my passion, friends. This word, man, now maybe making money does this to some of you all, and watching your kids play soccer, and you out and running around, some of you 50 and 60 year old men shooting basketball, and you get so excited till you pull a ligament in your leg. Maybe things like that's what excites you. Oh, this is what gets a hold to me. Oh, my. We are called to defend this word. Just like our forefathers were. Notice this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Some of these apostolic fathers, they got really bold now when it comes to false doctrine being preached. Holding faith and a good conscience, with some having put away concerning faith. have made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I know people don't like it when you call people's names. Well, the Lord told me, and the Lord told me. I don't care what the Lord told you. Here's what His Word said. I'm not responsible for what you say God told you. Here's the pattern of Scripture. I'm afraid to bat my eyes right now because some of y'all is looking for an opportunity to hit that door, ain't you? I bat my eyes. I catch you, going to be gone. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. What is that? Pulpit manners? No, not today it's not. Would you get this at Moody Institute? You wouldn't. Would you get it in the Message Institute? Oh my. But you know what? God called men, don't go to an institute. That's right, they're called of God, so sometimes they handle it rough. Notice this again, 2 Timothy 2:16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus? Wonder what these guys had done that got among the saints. Promoting and telling and projecting false doctrine and error. And what did Paul do? Wrote down their name for all the ages to hear it. And you got dummies like me that's still preaching it. Oh, I know it's uncouth. I know it's not pulpit manners. It's not polite. It's not nice. This bunch of homosexual perverted Laodiceans, and we got preachers in the pulpit with that same devil on them, afraid to call sin out. Oh, they'll preach to the choir. They'll do it in text to the bunch of preachers, but how many will stand in the pulpit and call sin, sin, and call right, right, and wrong, wrong, and black, black, and white, white? We don't want to offend nobody. We're getting as bad as the denominations are. Now, they didn't have the bleep invented whenever Paul wrote this here in 2 Timothy 2. They didn't use the bleep machine on him. Well, if he didn't use the bleeper, I don't figure I ought to use it when I read it. Now, I realize some of y'all wish you had a remote on me. Some of y'all love me to death, but you know, this part of me you just don't like. You just wish you had my remote where you could calm me down and, you know, make me more smooth like butter and just, you know, easy and, you know, adjust my tint and my hues and my contrast and roll off my sharp edges. Well, Brother Donnie's just a hillbilly. He's just, you know, poor guy. He don't know no better. You're right. I don't know any better than to follow the Holy Ghost. I don't know any better. I hope I never learn any better. I want you to notice this, that Paul, in verse 18, he says, who concerning the truth have erred. Now he's even going to say what they've said. Saying that the resurrection is past already. And look what they've done. Overthrow the faith of some. So here was some message believers, first century message believers. And these guys got among them and said, you know what? The resurrection's already past. And part of what they were saying was the truth. The resurrection of Matthew 27:53 had already happened. No doubt they were putting together the historical part of what was fulfilled and maybe picking up even some of Paul's quotes and saying we're already raised from the dead. So really the resurrection has already happened. You're in the millennium, brothers. Oh God, I need some Tylenol. No, if this is the millennium, I need morphine. Forget the Tylenol. Give me something strong because I'm real sick. What was they teaching? No doubt, Brother Jim, it had to be something so close if it overthrew the faith. Some of these people that had the first century message faith and it overthrew their faith, it was so close to what Paul was saying. So Paul said, it's time. Maybe he preached on it and tapped on it and preached on it and tapped on it. But he felt that nudge of the Holy Ghost. It's time. It's time to make him a public example before the church. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. You imagine a man being so poor, he has one coat. And the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So you know what? Now it's time to call names. So Paul said, we've dodged around it. We've worked. Why would they even dodge? You think that's afraid? Of course not. But you want to give people a time to repent. You want to give them time to get that evil thing off of them. But if they won't, this is the next step. Oh my goodness. You know, Paul, no doubt in that first century, he was tough anyway. He was probably one of the harder guys. And they knew that his, you know, because of his scholarly master ability as being a Pharisee and a devout one and really strict. And they thought, well, you know, when he come over into the message, oh, he's just an old hard guy. He's against all of us women. He won't let us women preach. I've been preaching glory to God for 40 years. Hallelujah. God used me. I'll tell you one thing. I've shouted and I've cast out devils, and that false prophet told me I had to sit down and quit preaching. Well, glory. But when John started doing it, the apostle of love. Everybody loves the apostle of love. And the pastor and the evangelist and the teacher of love. They want a poet who don't know it. They want a man who can stand and mesmerize them with beautiful, beautiful words. But a man who looks at them like a lion and fire's dancing in his eyes. You can see folks who's got sin in their life. He scares them. They're scared to death the Lord's going to bring them off that pulpit and lay his hand right on their shoulder. Notice in 3 John chapter 1, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. And remember, Diotrephes was a rich, wealthy man, a businessman. And this businessman had got in among the saints of God and was trying to control the church. We've got a lot of Diotrephes in the message. Now you imagine, this man had such sway among the people. Here is the last apostle of the Lord Jesus. And this businessman would not let the very last apostle of the Lord Jesus come to the church. And some of the people took sides with him against this last apostle. You tell me these things don't need to be preached against? Look how these people can be anointed of the serpent. And they can become so persuasive. What in the world? Who in their right mind would accept a Diotrephes over the last living apostle? I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So Diotrephes steps to the forefront and said, John ain't coming here to preach for us. Now, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm just wondering myself, What kind of pastor do they have in this church? I mean, this guy must have had on panty waist. I wonder if he groomed his fingernails and that's pink and purple. What kind of a pastor would stand in the church and let some businessman say, the Apostle John ain't coming preaching for us? And that man's word had so much sway that the pastor just kind of, whatever you say, bro. Must have bought him a new chariot every year. Fed him. Give him a salary maybe. My goodness, I didn't realize this was going to be one of them quiet nights. Look, friends, I believe in quiet time, but not when I'm preaching. But I tell you, what in the world would come to a preacher that he would let a man like this rise in the church? And here is the last living apostle. Can you imagine what this man, Brother Phil, Lord have mercy, would stay up all night, would stay up for days on end to get to sit with this man and say, tell us some more. Tell us some more, John. What else do you remember? But this man did not like John. And he said, I said no. So the pastor and the deacons and the associates said, well, maybe, you know, Matt, all of a sudden, I don't feel led. I don't feel led for John to come. You snake! And to that, you're a sissy. You ain't got no right behind no pulpit. Any man that'll let a bishop from wherever he is talk him out of the pulpit don't belong in the pulpit in the first place. Can you imagine a man like this telling a true servant of God, I don't like John, and he ain't speaking at our church. And if you let him come, I'll withdraw my monthly support. Boy, it's warm in here, ain't it? Goodness. I'm going to tell you something. Matter of fact, I like to froze death, and I walked out that door. Somebody must have turned the heat on in here. Who was it? What are y'all looking at me for? Oh my, notice now, John. He says, wherefore if I come? Lord, children. People think Nicolaitanism is only the preacher from the pulpit. You need to go back and read the meaning of Nicolaitanism. Go to the seals and listen to Nicolaitanism, how the prophet describes it there. And the Nicolaitan doctrine was not just preachers in the pulpit, but it was the people didn't want to move the Holy Ghost. The people didn't want them crying and slobbering and speaking in tongue and shouting. Here we have also an aspect of Nicolaitanism where they don't want the Holy Ghost to move. But John said, if I do come, you imagine an apostle, if I'm allowed to come, if I can work it out some way. Amen. Tell you one thing, if I'd been the pastor back then, I'd have had an open door for him. Amen. If y'all had been my sheep, Henry, if you would have joined with me. Well, let me update you. John's gone to his reward, but the God of John is still here. Praise God. We can't invite John to preach for us. We can't invite Brother Branham to preach for us. But we can invite the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost anoints Brother West, Brother Darrell, Brother Terry, whoever more that God sends in among us, we say, say on, Holy Ghost. Say on, Holy Ghost. Tell us the truth. Skin us when we need it. Pour all in when we need it. Tell us what we need to hear. Oh my, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Oh my goodness, the apostle of love is now going to remember his prating and his malicious deeds. Hallelujah. Friends, it proves people don't understand love. They don't understand it. Well, wouldn't true love forgive and forget? You mean true love would remember? This man hadn't made no repentance. He hadn't made nothing right. So he said, when I come, I will remember him. I'm sorry, friends, you didn't know this is in your Bible. Notice this, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren and forbiddeth them that would and casteth them out of the church. Now you talked about a puffed up, arrogant nobody. A person like that is this. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger as they blow on their thumb because that's all they've got to blow on. They are nothing in God's eyes. Nothing. But no doubt he thought he was big. And apparently some of the sheep did. Lord have mercy, sheep. Don't this make you want to draw closer to God? My goodness, how can a man that's not even a preacher get elevated to such a place? You see, by now the church had been on the earth for several decades, and Satan had found some of her vulnerabilities, her weaknesses. Maybe this guy helped the poor. Maybe this guy knew how to reach out to people and, you know, he had meals on wheels, so he'd come over and give free meals occasionally. And oh, he'd come running in the time of great need. And it's amazing to me how ignorant people are when it comes to stuff like that. You think you're doing it in the name of love? Catholicism done that years ago. That's the way they conquered the desert southwest. What they'd go in, they'd go in and build a mission. And they'd teach them how to raise corn. And they'd give them blankets. And they'd do this and that and the other. And by giving them that, they won them for centuries. And people look at the person and they're, oh, they give me this and they do this and they do that and they do something else. But do they tell you the truth? Amen. Do they really tell you the truth and set your soul free? Or are they comforting? Yes. Oh my. I'm not even going to ask you if I can go on. I'm just going to say, I'm moving on. Watch this now. I'm trying to do God a service to me. It's so beautiful and so fitting that Brother Branham would tell us this, and it's in July, of course, of 1965. And he's talking about when Moses stood at the end of his ministry and warned the people and told them to stay with what he had said and warning them of the judgments of God that would fall upon them. And he said, don't take some new thing. They're flying everywhere, and there'll be more than that come. But don't take these new things. How many men that was sitting right there at the Branham Tabernacle when he preached this would years later become the new thing founders? There's men that was sitting right there in this service when Brother Branham would go, this one would become Joshua and this one would become Caleb and this one would become the teacher and this one would become this and that and the other. And they sat right there and there sat some of his people sitting there amening this quote. And they wound up following some of them same men that amened it when he said it. Oh my. Now I know it makes y'all happier when I preach against the Baptists, but you know what? I'm not the Baptist folks pastor. I'm yours. Oh my goodness. Don't take some new thing. They're flying. Now listen, there'll be more than that. They'll come, but don't you take these new things. For the Lord your God has declared to you what is truth. The Lord your God has vindicated what is truth by his word, by his spirit, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And the spirit, oh listen to this, the spirit, God seeks those who worship him in spirit and truth, and thy word is truth. And he has thoroughly vindicated that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has showed the evening seeds to you. He has revealed it to you in the Word. He has proven it to you by his Spirit. Don't never start or try an organization. And yet he's preaching this at Branham Tabernacle? What's his last prayer at the end of the seven seals? God, I pray you'd keep them when the enemy comes among them and tries to get them to make a cult. If the potential wasn't there, why would he pray such a way? If the spirit of organization already, Brother Skip, it was around them. The preacher's jockeying for position and trying to be this and that and the other. Come on, saints. It was already right among the message people. Some already in Arizona, some here and there and there. Already saying Brother Branham was a false prophet. And saying they believed he was a messenger. Spirits ain't new. It's the same devils that Moses fought against. Right, same ones that anointed Dathan and Korah, and they're going to fight right on to the end. But we're going to win. Don't never try or start an organization. Don't try to build on anything else. But listen, this is too simple. But stay humble before the Lord your God, for it looks like the gates may open into the promised land soon. That's what I want. I don't want no organization. I don't want no system. I don't want no man-made something. I'm looking for the open gates. Praise be to God. Then let us go in with true singing and rejoicing when the bride and the groom takes its place at the throne. Live humble. Live loving. Love one another. Don't never get nothing among you. If you see something coming up your heart against somebody, get it out of there right then. And Satan will do his best to get among you. It's apparent that his best has worked for some. See, don't let that happen. Some slick-tongued fellow might come along and try to take you away from it. You think they could talk Moses out of the presence of God, or he'd stood there and seen it? No, sir. We don't take from it or add to it. Just keep the way the Lord said. We don't want no denomination. We want no organization. We don't want no malice. We don't want any strife. We want God. What a solemn warning given by the prophet of God 6 months before he's going to be taken from the earth. And some of the same people who sat there and screamed and hollered, amen, that's right, amen, wound up doing the very thing that he told them not to do. Oh my goodness. The truth either binds us or sets us free. Don't look at me funny. I just quoted to you a quote. Notice Romans now, chapter 6, 16 rather, verse 23. The original church was not, the focus of the church was not on just one man or one ministry or one church location. It was on the individual churches that were baptized mystically into the Spirit of God. They talked about Paul. They acknowledged Peter. They acknowledged the apostles. But their main focus was not just this one particular pastor. The focus was actually Jesus Christ and the church. This is why you find the words. If you haven't done it yet, then do it sometime. Type it in quotation marks and you'll see how many times it comes up in the New Testament, the church. Much more times than Paul. Much more times than Peter. Much more times than James. Why? Because that was the focus of the New Testament. Now, anything that breaks away from that is off the original foundation. Well, praise the Lord. Do we acknowledge Brother Branham as our prophet? We do. But Brother Branham is not the main focus of this hour. Jesus is. Donnie Reagan, Tim Pruitt, Mike Price, whatever ministers there are, that's what they are. They are ministers. They are under rowers. They are under shepherds. But they are not the main focus. Romans 16:23, Gaius mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. Now notice how they focused on the church. So it wasn't this one man and oh my, this one man. Oh, he was just absolutely wonderful. He was so great. Oh, he was greater and bigger than all the rest of them. This one man here who actually had a ministry which superseded them all. And yet notice how he placed himself in the body. He placed himself in the body, never elevating himself above this entity that Christ had founded on the church. Jesus didn't say, upon this rock I will build my Paul. And the gates of hell will come against my Paul, but my Paul will stand. He didn't say, upon this rock I will build my William Branham or my Donnie Reagan. But on this rock I will build my church. Notice again, 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring unto you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Praise God. So if there's a true prophet of God, he will not be against the church nor anti-ministry. First Corinthians 7:17, as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all. This is God's focus. The church. Not this man, this man, this man, this one church, this, oh, this great church, Happy Valley, Oh, Evening Light down in Shreveport. Oh, my. That's it. Oh, this one over here over in Trinidad. Oh, my. Everybody's going to hear that one man. False prophecy. It isn't one church down in Trinidad. It isn't one church in Johnson City. It's the church of Jesus Christ around the world. A lot of them will never hear the name Donnie Reagan. They'll never hear the name Tim Pruitt. They'll never hear the name Mike Price, Vin Diel, whoever more that would want to name Terry Horn. They'll never hear the name at all. But they've heard the name of Jesus Christ. They believe. And they've come in contact with one ministry, one message that God sent. And that was a ministry of Malachi 4. Praise the Lord. And many of those brothers, whenever they stream our services and other brothers, they are so inadequately equipped that they will write down quotes as I read them. They'll write down these quotes as they said in a library, as they said in an internet cafe, and stream the services because they don't have the table. They don't have books, Brother Larry, like we do. So they will write down these quotes, and they're preaching Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they don't have a computer, or they may not have an iPad, or this or that or the other, and yet they're feeding the same body, amen, of the bride of Christ around the world. Why? Because it's the church. First Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Verse 34. Bleepity bleep 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 bleep. I can say them two words are the law. Now, this is sexist today. Well, praise the Lord. Some of y'all stick your fingers back in your mouth again. Chewing your fingernails off. Let your women keep silence in the churches. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, which is as an oracle. Or a preacher. I've never understood how a woman preacher could read that and still preach.
That's right.
But they do. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now I want somebody to please stand tonight, or I want you to send me the scripture that the law says that. Dear Lord, what happened? But because the law gave the women no place, Paul is quoting the silence of the law. Praise the Lord. It's just another reason why I won't marry two women or two men. Because I've got direction on how to counsel them. Let a husband love his wife and this and that, and let a wife do this. But I don't have no scriptures where it tells me to let a wife love her wife. And then which one's going to be the head? Because I found word that the woman is supposed to reverence her husband. But how can a wife reverence her wife? Or a husband reverence his husband? There again, you're at liberty to stand right now and give me the scripture. Somehow I've overseen it. But because the scripture eliminates it, that tells me what God thinks about it. Second Corinthians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God. This was pre-Cleveland now. Cleveland, Tennessee. This was the real church of God. This was not the Mountain Assembly. This was not the Cleveland Assembly of where they formed the church of God. This was the real church. That's why I say don't get offended now whenever I use these terms church. This is what they originally called them in the Bible. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are all in Acacia. Now here's an area. Here he's focusing on the church at Corinth. And then the saints laying on the outlying area. Now look how this prophet of God directs them. His focus is, I want you to know how great I am, how important I am. Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I was going to write about you all, but I got to writing about me, and I thought about so many good things about me. I like to never shut up writing about me. It took me books and books and books and books because I realized how great I was, and I didn't have time to write anything about you all. I know you laugh at that, but let me tell you one thing. We've got people sitting in our church that's about that conceited. You get around them, the only thing they talk about is them. Me, 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 and I done this, and I'm doing that, and I'm going here, and I'm doing this and that and the other, and I. Well, I'm sorry. If you're the focus of your life, you need the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ ought to be the focus of our life. Look at this man with a ministry like he had. And what was his focus, Brother Dale? The church. He considered it such an honor to be identified with the church. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 18. We have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. Not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us. What? You mean the churches actually suggested to Paul who would travel with him? Somebody get me a chair. I'm feeling weak. Friends, don't you understand? Many of the message people are so ignorant of the scripture, it's pathetic. We're talking about a prophet of God. But to many of the message people, what's the message all about? Brother Brandon, Brother Brandon, Brother Brandon, Brother Brandon, Brother Brandon. Brother Brandon. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. My goodness. Not only that, but who is also chosen of the churches to travel with us? with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord in declaration of your ready mind. You mean Paul was a kind of prophet that would be able to take suggestions from the people? Look, Brother Paul, you're talking about a great man. You're talking about a man, this brother would be, oh, I'm a prophet of God. Let me call fire out of heaven and strike you dead. Dare suggest anything to me. That's a false prophet. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not supposed to leave for Israel till Monday. I guess I could leave Friday if y'all wanted me to leave early. Brother Don, don't you need to go to Rome or somewhere? Well, I already need to, but I'm not sure they need me there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, I must have got a really strange version of the Bible on my iPad, because my partner and fellow helper concerning you. Oh, no, now come on. You don't expect me to believe that Paul felt like this man had something to say. And this man could actually help the people working right along with Paul? So not Brother Branham wanting Brother Neville to be the pastor of the church? Oh my. Brother, they need to inquire of Titus. He is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. And of our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Preachers? No wonder, friends, only the elect will be restored back to the original apostolic faith. This is it right here. Now, what you believe about the message won't let you say amen to these scriptures. You better repent. Because there's a spirit on you that ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will say amen to His Word. That's right. My. Let me read this again. Whether you do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you and our brethren be inquired of. If you're asking about these other preachers and you want to know what I think about them, they are the messengers of the churches. And they're not only the messengers of the churches, but they are the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show you to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. Now, Paul was telling them, I've bragged on you all. I've bragged on you all to the preachers, and I've told them how it is to preach to you all. I've told them your growth. Now remember, this is the church of Corinth, the carnal, gifted people that was so pitiful in 1 Corinthians, but now they've grown. In 2 Corinthians, he said, I've bragged on you. I've told them how you've grown. I've told them, now behave yourselves. I want you to act like good little kids now. Don't you make me ashamed. Oh my. Amen. Notice Ephesians 1:22 hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the church. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, bleep, bleep, bleepity, bleep, 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 bleep. So let the wives be to their own husbands and everything they agree with them in. And then the other things, when they think they're wrong, then of course they don't have to. You don't say that. your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see my point? What was it? The church. The church. It was not the prophet. Christ so loved the prophet. Oh, the prophet this, the prophet, the prophet, the prophet, the prophet. Now, of course, we've changed. Now it's the pastor. And you've noticed it, haven't you? Around the message ranks? Most message folks ain't looking for a prophet. So what are they now making their highest idols? Pastors. Oh, this pastor. Oh, my, their church website. Evangelists have their place. But most evangelists do not have the following that a pastor will with a website. Now it becomes the pastors who are the idolatry tools. So this pastor and this church and this website, oh my, you've got to hear this guy. I'm telling you what, they ain't nobody saying like he's saying it. Well, I'd get away from him then if he's the only one saying it. Because God is dealing with the church. It's not just one man. Oh, he's the greatest guy, you know. Oh my goodness, you know, it's said about me. If I do not follow this certain man, poor Brother Donnie don't even understand what the message is all about. And if Brother Donnie and Brother Tim and these brothers is going to go to the rapture, they're going to have to start listening to these men, certain men's website, because God's going to tell them the day the rapture is going to come. Liars! Amen. False prophets! Amen. Not saying what Brother Branham said. Not saying what Paul said. Not saying what Jesus said. Amen. Therefore, they are liars. Amen. Let's stand. Ooh. I'm going to give a disclaimer right now. I had nothing to do with all that was said above. Don't blame Happy Valley. Don't blame the deacons. And please don't blame Brother Jim Babb. If you have a problem with it, blame God. Look what Satan does, friend. Look what he's done right in our own ranks. Make idols out of these men and this man. If he can't get you to make an idol out of Brother Branham, then he'll get you to make an idol out of your pastor or your favorite evangelist. Is that apostolic? It's not. What was their focus? The church. As great and wonderful as it, we'll get back into it, Lord willing, when I return from Israel. But as wonderful and great as speaking in tongues and gifts. You're talking about a supernatural thing. When a person goes to speaking in genuine tongues, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost takes over their tongue. They begin to speak a fluent language that they don't know one word of. Not one word. And the Holy Ghost begins to speak through them this language. It's as perfect as it can be. It's phenomenal. Now, how is it that that works? Since we're made up so that words from here have to come through here first. But the Holy Ghost will bypass your brain. Because your brain don't know Hebrew or French or Aramaic or whatever it is language you're speaking in. And the Holy Ghost to go straight to your mouth. And go to taking your mouth and saying Hebrew or Aramaic or French or Spanish or whatever more. And you're praying or whatever you're doing in that language. It's like, Lord have mercy. And you feel like you could run through a troop. And somebody sat there and said, you just spoke French. And you said, really? I don't know no French words. He said, French fries, French toast. And you say, no joking. That was perfect French. You say, really? Wow. Yet Paul said, when you're in the church, if there ain't no interpreter, then hold your peace. You mean something as phenomenal as that is? Something as wonderful as that is? You're not supposed to do it so everybody else will hear you been blessed? No, you're not. Why? Because when we come together like this, it's not for your edification or yours or yours or just mine. It's the body. So somebody could be so blessed to speak in a language and they'd stand up and speak out and maybe interrupt the service and people say, what in the world? Why did they do that? Well, according to the scripture, they're supposed to hold their peace. Something as great as that, a miracle that would transpire and cause you to speak in French or Spanish or German or something that you know absolutely nothing about, and a miracle would move on you? Yes. You're supposed to hold your peace because it does not edify the... Now, I wonder what kind of meetings we'd have here, friends, if every one of us, the song leader, the singers, the musicians, the deacons, the trustees, the preachers, all of us, if we'd come in here with that in mind. God, what can I do that would edify the body? Lord, help me not to do anything that would not edify the body. What kind of services would we have? But it'll never happen until we change our view and realize it ain't about you. It ain't about you and your wife and your two kids. It's about the body to edify the church. Now sometimes Brother Louis will get up here and he'll sing and he'll have several specials and the Spirit of God will go to moving real good and Brother Louis will skip on them specials. Because I've told him, Brother Louis, you follow the Holy Ghost. That's more important than how many people lined out. You may get your feelings hurt a little bit. Well, don't get your feelings hurt. What we want is a move of the Spirit of God. You can sing next time or next time or whatever. What we want to follow is the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not saying that your song wouldn't have been a blessing. It might have. But the Lord may have went a total different direction. For what? To edify the body. Oh, my. Don't you love it? I want you to think on this now. When you come to church, the way you worship, the way you do, the way you act, the way you pray, is it about you or is it about the body, the church? The attitudes you have when you come and sit in the pews, and people around you, to bring an old bad attitude in with you and it affects them. Praise the Lord. You love Him. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious words. Amen. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Dear God, we desire to be a church that is so close to that original church that if those apostles could raise from the dead and walk in here on a Wednesday night or a weekend, they'd say, that's just the way we preached it. Lord God, help us that our hearts and our faiths can be turned to the original faith. This is what you sent your prophet to do. It breaks our heart to see the organizational spirits that's around this message, Lord. Pulling people this way and that way and that way. But Lord God, it'll never ever keep the bride away from the truth. Whenever we know everybody that's around this message is not bride. Their behavior, their life tells us that. But Lord Jesus, we know those that are called, those that are chosen to be identified with this word, nothing will pull them away. All we may toddle along the way. We may make mistakes along the way. We may get away, but we won't stay away. Because there's something in us that calls us back. When the prophet saw the vision of the little bride and he saw her at the very end and he saw that Asian church, he said, look like they might have been Asian or something. And they had their eyes on that worldly church as they went down into the darkness screaming and they started stepping out of line. And he screamed back, get back in line, get back in line. So it shows the bride, even the bride, can get out of line by looking at the wrong things. But if she's bride, she'll hear the voice of truth and it'll pull her back in line. Help us, Father. Lord Jesus, whether ministry or sheep, help us all, I pray, to stay true. Our desires true. Oh, Lord God, give us wisdom, understanding.
Satan is going about as a roaring lion. Yet, Father, many times he changes his costume and comes as an angel. So he'll come as a wolf in sheep's clothing. Then he'll come as a lion. So apparently it's lion time whenever he comes as a lion. He sure wouldn't fit in sheep time. So he's got all these costumes. So when it's angel time, he comes like an angel. When it's prophet time, he comes like a prophet. Whatever needs be, he has costumes for the occasion. But Lord Jesus, the Holy Ghost will never be deceived. Help us, I pray, Father. Help these fathers, these mothers, these children. Help every minister. Help each of us, Father God, that we will be led by the presence of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the church, Lord. Thank you for the church. We are so glad that we are not the only ones going. We are so glad that even just the message people are not the only ones that will be there in that great, big, gigantic place. Oh, yes, you've sent the prophet with a message to be able to call the bride for a rapture, but the outside's bigger than the city. It must be going to be a gigantic, tremendous place because John looked and said, I saw no more sea. It's hard for me to believe it's going to be about 300 or 400. Each one of us will have about 750,000 acres apiece. But Lord, there's going to be millions times millions. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just want to find our place and stay therein, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. You love him tonight, saints, with all your heart. How many just wants to get your place, find your place, and stay there? Just raise your hand to God. God, be mindful of me. Lord, if I'm a singer, if I'm a songwriter, if I'm a deacon, a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, parking lot attendant, whatever I am, help me to just find my place, Lord, and stay there. Amen. Diotrephes comes among us. We just absolutely forbid to hear him. We won't listen to his lies. Somebody else come in among us, Satan shoot him full of deadly poisons. The prophet said he would. We refuse. The prophet tells us what to do. Stick with your pastor. He's told us exactly what to do. Help us, Lord. Stay with the word. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Lord. When these new things come flying around, we just don't hear them, Lord. We go right back to the original word. And if it ain't what the word said, we say it's false. No matter who's saying it. It makes no difference to us who's saying it. We want the truth, Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your truth, oh God. Can we just lift our hands for just a little bit of worship to him? Oh, my. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Oh, children, false prophets will be among us. Sure, they will. They'll continue right on to the very end. But we keep our eyes right on the truth. We pray for those that have gone into error that God can maybe straighten them out. That's right. But if they can't, we're going on without them. Oh, we don't want to leave anybody behind. I sure don't. I don't know of anybody I want to be lost. But you know what? If they don't want to go, I'm not going to let that hinder me. I'm going on. You feel the same way? My brother don't go. My mother don't go. My father don't go. The deacon don't go. Whoever don't go. That ain't going to hinder me. I'm going on by the grace of God. I want to be what God's called me to be. Oh, I don't want to be sharp. I don't want to be difficult. I don't want to be, you know, too dogmatic, as it were. But I want to stand for the truth. I have been given a portion of God's word. My charge from God. My charge from God was not to be a businessman. My charge from God was not to be an intellectual. My charge from God was a portion of his word. And I want to take that word and watch over it and protect it and guard it, Brother Terry, with everything that's in us. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. We are guardians. Not only is that charge given to preachers, but a portion of that word has been committed to you. A portion of this great message has been committed to you. You're going to keep it. By God's grace. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Sing something for us, Harry. See if you can fix all this.
Ain't nothing broke? Okay. Well, if it ain't broke, we don't need to fix it then. Praise the Lord.
If you can't help me, please don't stop me.
Amen.
Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. Gotta race to run.
Lord Jesus, oh my, won't it be wonderful when the scripture says they'll beat their swords and their plowshares into spears and to pruning hooks, and they'll steady war no more. Praise God. I was reading about it yesterday, that in the mountain of the Lord, that the child will play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child, which chronologically it must be the millennium, whenever those in human bodies which aren't glorified are still giving natural birth. And the weaned child will play on the cockatrice den. And nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. You see, the serpent... The serpent will have become brought in greater subjection under the reign of David, bringing it beyond the new birth to where it's moved now out of the heart, to where by the time we get into the millennium, it's on its way to the third phase. God's changed his diet. Remember what God told him, don't you, in the book of Genesis? Dust you'll eat. Yeah. all the days of your life. But in the millennium, no more dusting. Small children and the weaned child will play on the hole of the cobra and the poison asp. But the serpent is being brought subject. Well, I don't want to say too much about that because that's what we're going to preach about this weekend. But anyway. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. I love you so much. Lord, thank you for your word, Father. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. Your word is just, we never get enough of it. Lord, man, these people have been reading the Bible for decades. They've been listening to the word from the prophet's tapes and been feeding them the ministry of the word for years and years and years. And Lord, they feel the way I do and others. We say, oh my goodness, will it never stop? It just keeps coming greater and greater and greater. It just, we've just broke into that eternal essence of the great presence of God. Thank you for it, Lord Jesus. No wonder it'll take eternity for you to reveal yourself to us. We wonder what we're going to do, and we're thinking, my, how will we occupy ourselves? We'll occupy ourselves by the unfolding of your being. And then we'll take a break as it was and go down and by the river and all the things that we'll do. But it'll be you unveiling yourself. Lord Jesus, may there not be a one of us missing, Father, that day. We love you, Lord, so much. Go with us now, I pray. Bring us back again this weekend if it be pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We believe, saints. Praise be to God. You believe He's concerned about these things? One of the sisters from our church is sharing a testimony with me the other day. She'd been dealing with some pain things, a pinched nerve in her neck. Her hand was going numb. She had a Band-Aid around her finger because it was so numb. It was so sensitive. Been dealing with it for weeks on end. At the end of the service a couple of weeks ago, I was praying for the people, just generally like this, mentioning various things. I said, Lord, somebody with a pinched nerve in their back, she'd been praying for God just to build her faith. She said, whenever I said it, she just said, God, please, please let him mention that. You think God is so mindful that God would anoint a dumb, ignorant person
to say something, but you don't even know why you're saying it. And whenever I said it, it dropped in her heart. Healing come. Praise be to God. Because I'm great, because you're great, because He's great. It's not the preacher, it's not the pastor, it's the church. He's mindful of you and your needs and your desires. He loves you. He don't just love me. Don't just love Brother Darrell. Love the ministry. He loves you. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you go to talking that way, you feel His presence coming in. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Amen. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. My goodness, I feel like having a prayer line. Oh, glory. Oh, I love when you talk about Him and His presence comes swooping down that way. If you can only understand Him, when that anointing comes, you don't actually even have to have a prayer line. That sister didn't even come up, or she's sitting right back there and the anointing dropped right down. Hallelujah. Oh, children, if our faith can rise to that place. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I believe. Let's sing it. Lord, I believe that all things are possible. Lord, I believe. Sing it now. God, hallelujah. All things are possible. Lord, you believe it, children? One of the last times I was in China, I rode a little sister in the hotel room where I was having a meeting, crippled up in a wheelchair. Their faith so simple to believe the word. I preached, asked if anybody needed prayer. They rolled her up in the wheelchair. Well, for prayer for her, she stood up, pushed the wheelchair out of the motel room. That ain't 50 years ago. That's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's a woman I prayed for right then that could not have babies. Guess what? They've got 7, 8, 10, 11-year-old babies right now that God gave them. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we can only get our faith off of each other and our faith off of ourselves, our faith off of our emotions, and get our faith where it needs to be, right on the basis of His Word. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing it together. Only be. God bless you. I love you. Go in the fear of God. Only. Maybe you're out there on the internet tonight. You need healing for your body. Deliverance. You don't have to be here in this place. Just reach out right there where you are. Maybe terrible things going on in your home and your family. In the name of the Lord Jesus, believe His words. Believe His words. Hallelujah to God. Oh, be.
For Jesus is here. Jesus is here. All things are possible, 'cause Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Now all things are possible. Jesus is here. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Oh Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Are possible only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible.
Believe this, because Jesus is here, right here in this building.
Jesus is here. Now all things are possible, for Jesus is here. Oh, Jesus. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find cry, He is passing by this moment. Your needs He will supply. If you just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Oh, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy. He can hear your cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs He will supply. If you just reach out and touch the Lord. And touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. All you need supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You'll find too busy. He can hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your need He will supply. You just reach out and touch the Lord.
Lifetime, you've seen more with your eyes right here in this church that's written in the entire New Testament. Healings and signs and things that God has done. You've seen it with your own eyes. More that's in the entire New Testament. Because we're great and wonderful. Because we're nothing. But because we can believe and point to the great and mighty God. Oh, hallelujah. I believe He desires to manifest Himself. For whose glory? For His. For His. Oh, praise the Lord. But now I'll come and dismiss them the second time. I'm going to leave, okay? God bless you. I love you. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
You wouldn't make me dismiss. Amen. What a wonderful service. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful privilege it is to serve the living God. Amen. Do you realize, friends, that if he loved me enough to die for me, then he loved me enough to heal me. He loved me enough to forgive me. He loved me enough to show me the truth. He loved me enough to rapture me. You know, when I was a little boy, we used to get the little flowers, the daisies, you know, and we'd say, "She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me." Most of the time, mine ended up on "she don't." But with the Lord, with His flowers, "I love you. I love you. I love you." He loves us. What a privilege it is to be loved by the living God. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I'm not a smart man either, Lord. I don't understand a lot about English. I always don't know the right word to say or even how to pronounce it, Lord. Sometimes I embarrass myself trying to read the Bible in front of people. But Lord, I'm so glad that you're not looking for my education, Lord. You're looking for my heart. And Lord, for my heart tonight, though I may not be able to express with words, Lord, listen to my heart, for it expresses to you how much we appreciate what you've done for us in this day, Lord. As I was just watching the quotes on the monitor tonight, Lord, way back in 63, you had the prophet speak about these things, the mechanical devices. Lord, way down here in 2017, 18, those quotes become more real as we see, Lord, what the prophet was speaking way back then is now manifesting among us, Lord. How you care so much for us, Lord. That you prepare us for these things, Father. Lord, we just love you so much tonight. We just thank you, Lord, for all that was prayed for tonight, Lord. May there be great testimonies, Father. We believe in great testimonies because we believe you're a great God. Go with your people now, Lord, and give them traveling grace and Father, I ask you tonight, you touch my wife. She's homesick, Lord. May you just touch her, Father, we pray. Knowing, Lord, that you're more than able. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, Brother Donnie. Just renew his strength, dear God, we pray. It's been so blessed to be here tonight, Lord. We just commit these things into your hands now for your glory. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, our shortcomings. Mold us into an image that be pleasing to you, we pray, Father. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lean back against you and feel your heart. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and feel your heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.